God, with gratitude, we come before you, recognizing that that you are here. And so, Lord, I think my request is not so much that you meet with us because I know you are here, but that we would be aware of your presence. Would you soften our hearts, our minds, open up our ears, our eyes to see and hear you clearly? Would you guide us as we look through your word simply, looking for truths that would stand out, grip our hearts, and shape us in the way we live our lives, as well as the way we love and serve those around us. We worship you, Jesus Christ, in your holy name. Amen. Everyone say amen. Amen. So I was with some family a little while ago, and I don't remember how this came about in conversation, but someone had shared of a story they had heard about someone growing up, that this person, when they were growing up, they were told that when they... How many of you guys remember ice cream trucks? Is this even... Let me see how relevant this is. I know, like, it's a little sketch to go get something out of a van, right, in a neighborhood. But someone was told when they were growing up, someone was told, when you hear the music... You guys remember music in the ice cream truck? When you hear that music, that means the ice cream truck is out of order. That means the ice cream truck has no ice cream. I think in some ways, that's just twisted, right? For a parent to raise a child that way, but now that I have kids, I think that's genius. Like, to let the kids know, Dad, it's like, no, dude, that means that there's no more ice cream, right? There are symptoms, there are signs that, although that example isn't true, but there are things that happen in our lives, in everyday lives, that alert us, that warn us, and say, hey, this is about to go out of order. You know, like, even this graphic, you can interpret it however you want, but I almost think of these. This is, again, this is an old reference, but there used to be TVs that were thicker than 3 inches. I know some of you guys might not know that, but they were like these big boxes, and the picture would cut out, and you just bang the side of it, you know, to try and get it in, because when it would start to cut out, that'd be a sign, that'd be a signal that, hey, this thing is about to go out. This box is about to be out of order. Or arcades. Again, Nathan, these are archaic references. But you guys remember arcades? You actually had to pay money to play a video game. It was this big box. And the worst thing is you play this, like, baseball game, and you're just picking grass out in the outfield, but, you know, pizza party afterwards, and you go to the pizza place, and you just want to play Street Fighter 2. That's all you want to play, and you get there, and what? There's a sign on it that says what? Out of what? Order. You guys been to that pizza place? Yeah, never go again, right? There are things that happen in our lives that really bum us out. You know, these areas of lives where we encounter the things we desire, and we find that they aren't working as they should work. And sometimes there are symptoms, there are signals that could alert us to, this isn't going to work, this is going to break down. And tonight, I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I want to highlight some symptoms, some signs that might declare that a life is out of order, that a heart is out of order. The reality is, what we will see here in Samuel, that there are some senses that are not in order, the way they speak, the way they hear, talking about the Israelites, the way they speak to someone, the way they listen to instruction, the way they fail to see. These are all symptoms of truly a heart being out of order. The problem is not necessarily with their tongue. The problem is not necessarily with their ears. The problem is not necessarily with their eyes. The reality is, the problem is with the heart. It's the heart that is out of order. I can't remember who said this, but there's a quote that I love. At the heart of every problem is a problem with the heart. At the heart of every problem is a problem with the heart. When the heart is out of order, the life is out of order. When we come to the book of 1 Samuel, just to give you some historical context, some biblical context, where it lies in the timeline of history, this comes after the era of the judges. We studied this some time ago. You guys might want to go back, and you can check that out on the church app. We titled it Simply One. But it was a time in which the Israelites, the children of God, the Bible says that there was no king and they did whatever was right in their own, finish it with me, in their own eyes. There was no king in that day, and they did whatever was right in their own eyes. This is nearing the end of that period. This man, Samuel, was born out of incredible adversity. And maybe this would give hope to someone here tonight. Samuel should not have been born. Samuel was born to a woman who was barren, to a woman whose womb could not conceive a child. And out of adversity, out of someone on their knees banging to God, being completely transparent with God, God breathed on her and she gave birth to this incredible person. Maybe you in your life, facing darkness, barrenness, you need to know and hear that life can come out of that. Pastor Brian always says God does some of his greatest work in darkness. Some of his greatest work takes place in darkness. So Samuel is born, and out of this beautiful prayer and song of Hannah, she dedicates Samuel to be used in the temple, to be used to serve God, to worship God. And Samuel kind of serves this judge role, not like a black cape and gavel like type of judge, but this leader. This one that would rule over people, that would see that there was order in the region, order in the lives, order in their relationship with God. He served somewhat of a definitely a prophetic gift, almost as a prophet, or he was a prophet to the people, as well as a priestly role to the people. So this is where we find the book of Samuel. And in that day, it wasn't just that they did what was right in their own eyes. Their eyes were broken. Their ears were broken. Their mouths were broken. Their hearts were out of order. That's what I want us to see here tonight. So here's three symptoms, three signs that a heart is out of order. And I just want to speak this. I want to clarify this at the beginning. For us listening, we could find ourselves in one of two groups, or maybe both. We can receive... Let me back up. These are the characters that we're going to encounter. Samuel, say Samuel. And the Israelites, say Israelites. We'll talk a little bit about the Philistines. They're kind of the bad guys. But Samuel, a man that loves God, cherishes God, is obedient to God. You could argue that his heart was in order. And we talk about the Israelites, where I would argue that their heart was out of order. Now listen, as we read this and as we highlight some signs or symptoms, we can find ourselves in either camp or both camp. And that's okay. I believe that God wants to speak to both parties, but this is what I would argue. If you, as we read this, and you identify with Samuel, and there will be times, perfectly, that we all identify with Samuel, we're going to speak of how do you serve, how do you love, how do you lead someone or a group of people whose lives are out of order, whose hearts are out of order. And as we look at that, this information that we're going to receive from God's word is not for you to lord it over someone, but it's for you to heighten your awareness and recognize how to be praying for someone, okay? And then we're going to talk about the Israelites, and at some point, we've probably all identified with what's going on, but as we highlight some of these areas, I pray that they would be signals in our own lives, in our own minds, our own hearts to recognize, I've got to put some things in order. I've got to fix some things. And I promise you, for all of us, both sides, there's hope throughout this story. We'll close with hope. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Jump down to verse 4. Say Jesus if you're with me. Say hold on if you're still turning. Like 8 minutes I gave you. Here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 4. This is how it goes. Samuel's no longer a child. He's grown up. He's been leading the people well out of obedience to God. They just came out of a great battle where God was in it, and he granted the Israelites victory. Okay, and this is what happens. We're looking at the first sign or signal that a heart is out of order. Then all the elders of Israel, some other leaders, gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old." What a way to approach someone, right? Hey, can we have a meeting real quick? Let me just start this out. You are really old, bro. Like, really old, right? You are old. Your sons do not walk in your ways. And tragically, this is very true. You could even just read a few verses before that. Samuel had sons that were, those of you guys that grew up in church, it was probably like your typical PK, pastor's kid, crazy, rebellious story. Unfortunately, that was his case. And may that be a lesson to us, that proximity to church, proximity to ministry does not necessarily signify righteousness or holiness. Just because you show up to church on a Sunday, just because you went to a Christian school, does not mean eternity is locked up, or does not mean you're walking after God's own heart. So these people show up to Sam to really build him up. You know, Sam, we love you. You're old. Your kids are jacked up, right? Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And you can imagine how Samuel would respond, how he would feel. Look at this, verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel. The thing, another translation you could find, he would say, it crushed Samuel. Say crushed. It crushed Samuel. Could you imagine? Put yourself in Samuel's shoes real quick. Here's a man, his whole life, he stayed away from the vine. He hasn't cut his hair. His entire life is dedicated to serving God. His whole life has been committed to obedience to God. Whatever God speaks, I do. The good stuff, the hard stuff. The first time he heard God speak to him, God gave him a prophetic word. And it wasn't like an exciting, like uplifting word of prophecy. It was like, hey, this leader, this priest, his family's going down. That's heavy for a young person to carry, right? But out of obedience, shared it with the gentleman, with Eli. His whole life has been dedicated to serving God and loving his people. And the very people he's dedicated his life to serving show up to him and say, you're old. Your kids are the worst. And we don't want you leading us anymore. I mean, just emotionally, displeased, crushed, burdened. The same word is used if you were to go back and read in Numbers 11. Remember Moses? You guys remember Moses, right? Kind of a similar concept. At the age of 40, God shows up to him, right, in a burning bush and says, I got a job for you. You were created for this. He and God and Moses argue back and forth, and eventually Moses says, you know what? I'll surrender. I'll do whatever you say. I'll be obedient to you. Thinking maybe this is going to be a cakewalk. It was originally a 3-day worship conference turned into a 40-year just, where's Siri? Can you help me get some direction to where we're supposed to go, right? Right? And yet the whole time, the people are complaining against Moses. They're saying, you're the worst leader ever. And I think sometimes Moses is like, I know, I didn't even want this job. You should have been with me when I was talking. I tried to talk God out of it, right? It says that Moses too was displeased when they would come to him. They would speak about his poor leadership and say how we were better off in Egypt. At least we had meat. There might have been slaves, but we had meat to eat. We had vegetables to eat. Out here, we got nothing. It says Moses, too, was displeased. I think the first sign or symptom of a heart that's out of order is it causes those whose hearts are out of order to say some very hurtful things to those who care the most about us. Remember the prodigal son? Remember the story of the prodigal son? Jesus tells this parable. There was this man, right? This young boy who grew up, and he decided, you know what? I want my inheritance now. And he goes to the father, and he doesn't just say, hey, dad, can I get my inheritance now? Essentially, what he speaks to the father is, you're better off to me dead. So can I get that advance? Can I get an advance on the inheritance? You're no good to me. And what does the story detail? A heart that is completely out of order throughout the entire story. Crushed. Crushed. I think a sign or a symptom in our own lives when we find our own hearts out of order is that we are speaking things to people that love and care deeply for us that we don't even know how it's coming out. But out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart. Last Wednesday, I was teaching at the Journey service, and we covered some passages in 1 Samuel, really unique passages in 1 Samuel. Talked about hemorrhoids, actually. I don't even know why I'm saying this right now, but just the Bible covers everything, all right? That really piqued the interest of some high schoolers when I mentioned it to them. Anyways, after the service, we were talking about, who's God? Are you serving God? Is God your God? Are you making God your own God? This guy comes up to me after the service. He says, Nathan, how did you know I was here tonight? I never met this guy ever in my life. He says, how did you know I was here tonight?
And I said, "I'm so sorry. I've never met you. What is your name?" And we exchanged names. I said, "What's going on, man? Why would you make a statement like that? What's happening in your life?" He says, "The last several weeks, I've been speaking things. I've been in such like deep anger towards people, and I know it's not me. I know it's not who I'm supposed to be. And I just blew up at someone at work. And I decided when I was driving home, you know, I'm going to go to the service tonight at LCC." And he said, "I even told my buddy who was driving home with me from work, I said, I bet you this message is about me tonight. I bet." And it just speaks right to his heart, right to his heart. What was coming out of his heart was not what he wanted to speak. His heart was out of order. One of the symptoms, one of the signs that our hearts are out of order is we begin to speak things that are not of love, that are not rooted in the Spirit of God or the Word of God. Our hearts are, have you done that? Have you yourself done that? Have you experienced that? Have you experienced that of another friend, a family member, a coworker, where they're speaking things and you just know, like, that hurts, but that can't be of them? What do we do? How do we respond in those situations? Now, looking at the Samuel side, how do we respond? Look what Samuel does. Look what Samuel does. Let me back up. Verse 6. "But this thing displeased, it crushed Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.'" Because essentially Samuel was doing this. He'd been dedicating his life to this. So how does Samuel respond? Does he blow up at him? Does he rip him and say, have you not seen what I've been doing my whole life?" He says, "No." Look how Samuel responds. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. Samuel prayed to the Lord. What do we do with those that we've encountered, that we've committed our lives to love them and serve them, when they just unleash on us in just verbal lies? We commit it to the Lord. We take it to the Lord. We don't take it to another person. We don't start a rumor train. We don't start gossiping. We take it to the Lord. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, this is so beautiful. The Lord said to Samuel, he said, hey, Sam, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you. Listen to them, really listen to them. But know this, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They've rejected me. This is not a personal attack against you. They may not see it properly. Their heart is out of order. They may not know what they're speaking, but what they're speaking has nothing to do with your obedience, your faithfulness. Their issue is with me. It's not with you. That I should not reign over them. And this is the same thing that happened to Moses. You go back to some of those passages. Moses goes to God and says, "God, I'm doing the best I can here, man. Remember we talked, I didn't even want this job, but out of obedience, I said, I'll do it." And God says, "Listen, Mo, there are issues with me, man. It's not with you. Don't worry about this. Don't take this personally." Verse 8, "According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt." This is God still talking. "Even to this day," he's even referencing that day, right? This is an ongoing thing, Samuel. This is nothing new. It's been happening in their lives for a while. It's just now manifesting. "With which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." Two things real quick to note. This has nothing to do with the signs or symptoms. Just the majesty of God is that when we take things to God, God will speak to us in such a way through his word, through his spirit, in such a way that will assure us and grant us discernment in how to separate what is personal attacks against us and what are attacks against him. You understand what I'm saying? So often we because we invest our lives in people, people are not the enemy. Remember this? People are not the enemy. People are the mission, right? Because we invest our lives in serving and loving people, we are so invested that when people respond out of a heart that is broken, that is out of order, we take it so personal. And that happens. That happens to me on the weekly. Maybe it used to be more on the daily, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's maturing me a little bit, speaking to me. But that happens. Well, when that happens, we need to take it to God and say, "God, help me sift through this. Because the way I'm processing it is, it's crushing me. Does it need to crush me? Do I need to be awakened to something that's not right in my life and the way I'm leading or serving one another? Help me out with this." And God so greatly does. But when we find ourselves in those situations as well, this might sound odd and twisted to some here tonight, but when we find ourselves in a situation like Samuel where we have loved someone and served someone and they have responded with just cutting language, God spoke to Samuel and said, "Hey, what you're experiencing is what I've been experiencing.
in a very odd way. It's not a gift I would necessarily wish upon anyone, but we can walk in something. We now recognize what God faces on the daily when we face this with friends who speak out against us, who mistrust us, who do not acknowledge or recognize the service or love that we've given them. And to think that God experiences that every second of the day just burdens me. Burdens me. So Samuel sat with God. He needed a little counseling appointment. What do I do in this situation, God? How do I respond? There's some things that are not right. And God says, listen, first of all, don't take it personal. You're doing a great job. It's not against, nothing against you. It's their issues with me. But I want you to listen to them. And I want you to warn them of the things that they're asking for. I don't think they really understand what they're asking. Look at verse 10. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And Samuel said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. Let me pause real quick. Just a parenthesis for those of you that, I pray we would all care about this, but I know some of you don't care as much about this. But the issue is not that the people, that there was going to be a king over Israel. That was a prophecy back in the old, even before this point. God had already prophesied and said there will be a king. The issue is not with a king necessarily. The issue is that the people are commanding when the king comes and who the king is themselves. Not trusting and leaning in God's timing. There are prophecies, there are words that God has spoken to you, truths that come about in God's word. Don't push that on your own agenda. Don't rush the schedule of that. Allow God to just reveal that as it comes. That's the problem that's happening right here, okay? But this is what God said to Samuel. Hey, they want a king now? Let them know what's going to happen. Verse 11. And Samuel said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take. You can underline this, highlight this. We're going to see this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 6 times in this section here. You really want a king? You think this is freedom for you to experience a king? He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. Will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Verse 13, he will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young women, and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants, and you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. He will take, 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 he will take. You think there's freedom? There's no freedom in this. Verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. First of all, I didn't even know Samuel was asking a question, and they responded with a yes or no answer. He said, listen, this is what's going to happen. Da, 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 da. It's not going to be a good thing. And they said, no. That's how my 2-year-old responds to things, right? No, I'm not even asking you a question, Jude. What's the deal? No, this is what I want. They say, no, we will have a king over us. Number 2, maybe a second sign or symptom that our heart is out of order is a heart that is out of order begins to affect our ability to hear. Have you been there? Have you experienced that imparting something to someone else? Say, hey, listen, you've asked me, you've invited me to speak into your life. Here I am. This is what I see as I pray about this, as I study God's word. This is what I see happening in your life. And they say, no, I'm going to do my own thing. Like, did you not just, you asked me, I spoke, did you not, did I miss, did I, is this thing on? Am I getting through to you, right? It's as if every word you speak falls on a deaf ear. And again, it's not necessarily because their ears are broken, it's because their heart is out of order. A sign or symptom that a heart is out of order is our ears become
deaf to the things of God, heart of God, the truth of circumstances. Here's the thing. If you feel like you maybe even border a heart that's out of order, but you're convinced, no, my heart's right, but it's this person that I'm sitting with. They're always saying I'm wrong. Or okay, this was one person, but if you start to hear the same thing from 2, 3, 4, 5 people, and you find that you're disagreeing with 5 other leaders, influencers, pastors, brothers, sisters in Christ, maybe the problem isn't the people. Maybe the problem is your own heart. And you can bounce around from church to church. You can bounce around from small group to small group, leader to leader. But the reality is the heart is still the problem. And you're going to run in the same situation regardless of whatever church you go to. A sign that your heart is out of order is that you no longer have the ability to hear clearly what the person before you who loves you is sharing with you. This is where you want to go. Then this is the warning that I see before you. Paul talks about it, that there's going to come days where people are going to raise up leaders to teach what they want to hear, no longer wanting to hear what God has to say, but they're going to have an ear to hear what they want to hear. This is what's happening with a life, with a heart that's out of order. So they respond, no, to your old response. But we will have a king over us, verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations. Whoa, warning sign. We'll talk about that a little bit. And that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. It's as if the words, again, fell on deaf ears, right? Verse 21, and Samuel heard all the words. What do you do when people aren't hearing what you're saying? Do you just say it louder? No. Check this out. And Samuel heard all the words of the people. And again, where did he bring them? He brought them to the hearing of the Lord. He sat with God and said, Lord, what do you want me to do here? So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. If we harden our hearts, you want to walk with a hard heart. You want to walk with a stubborn mind. You want to walk with narrow vision. God may love you enough to give you the very thing you're asking for, that you may experience what it is to be outside of his desire for you. Not because he desires to make your life miserable, but he desires for you to walk in union with him. With a heart that is in order, that is ruled, that is submitted to him. The number 3 sign or symptom from this passage that we're looking at that might scream, out of order, out of order, out of our order, is that our sight begins to be super narrow. Our sight is weakened. I'm not going to touch on this because I feel like I try to harp on this anytime we can. But the first thing they say is, whatever. But this is what we see. This is what we want. We want to be like the other nations. Haven, this is a little sub point. But you want to kill anything in your life, start comparing your life with someone else. Believer or not, I don't care who it is. You want to kill your marriage. You want to kill your dating relationship. You want to kill favor God has given you. You want to kill the favor in your workplace, in your classrooms. You want to kill relationships. Start comparing it with whatever God's given someone else. The gifts, the talent, just say, God, they got. No. You're going to kill that. That fruit is going to rotten. That's our first problem. But they said, listen, we want to be like the other nations, and we want a king to judge us, and we want a king to go before us and fight our battles. Check this out. Their heart is so out of order that they're unable to see the very thing that they desire, they already have. They already have. They have a God, they have Samuel who is ruling over them, judging them. They have a God, the God, Jehovah, who is going out before them, who is providing for them and fighting their battles for them. Look with me the very chapter before. Go to chapter 7. Jump down to let's go to verse 10 through 13. Say Jesus if you're there. Okay, here we go. Now, as Samuel, this is just the chapter before, guys. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, right? They decide, Samuel, we want to follow God. What should we do? How should we do this? Samuel says, listen, you got to repent. You got to turn to the Lord. You want to bring out all your false gods, your false idols. We got to get rid of them. We got a clean house, right? So they do this. Samuel offers a burnt offering. A burnt offering simply, they would burn the whole animal, and that would speak of how we're fully committed to you, God. Not just part of our lives, but our entire life, we're fully surrendered, right? A whole animal, a burnt offering. We want to fully burn for you, maybe, right? He'd offer up a burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle. Those are the bad guys, remember we talked about them, against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them. It's such a radical thunderstorm. It so confused the enemy that they were overcome by Israel. They want a king to go out and fight their battles before them. It just happened the chapter before. It just happened. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. He made an offering, a stone of remembrance to say, man, let's not forget what God did. He helped us. So the Philistines were subdued. Listen to this. And they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. When we've hardened our hearts, when our hearts are not in order, submitted, ruled by God, it narrows our vision and we're unable to even see what God is doing. Remember, all of this is happening in a time and an era where the biblical authors were saying there was no king in that day and they did what was right in their own what? Eyes. Eyes. Can I remind you the problem is not with the eyes? The perils, the consequences of living a life out of order may result in blinded vision, but the problem is the heart, not the eyes. See, some of us, I believe that the kingdom of God operates a little differently than maybe we converse about eyes and stuff outside of the kingdom. You know, and you guys have ever used this statement, right? Out of sight, out of mind. And the people of this day, the Israelites, are living by sight, you would argue. Like, if I don't see God moving, then I know God's moving, not moving, and then I mistrust God, right, in the heart, right? Eyes, mind, heart. I really think the kingdom of God operates the other way, right? Paul says, listen, you don't live by sight, you live and walk by faith. The heart is the garden of faith. It's not out of sight, out of mind, out of heart. When we begin to live our life as Christ intends, where our heart is settled on God, then our mind is set toward God, and you begin to see the acts of God everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. It's, now the word is escaping me. Perceptual vigilance is the word. This is like a thing. I didn't know this was a thing, but I don't know if you guys have ever, maybe you did this with school, choosing a school to go to, or if you guys have ever purchased a vehicle or desired to purchase a vehicle. It's like my wife and I, we'd been praying for some reason a Honda Pilot. We want a Honda Pilot, but up until we started praying and really settled in our hearts, this is the car we want to pursue. I never saw a single Honda Pilot on the road. But the moment I've settled my heart on, you know what, God, this is what I want. This is what I'm praying for. What do you have to say about this? Wouldn't you know, it feels like every third person owns a Honda Pilot. Anyone ever experienced that? When your heart and your mind is set, you begin to see things as they are. When our heart is out of order, our mind is out of order, and our vision becomes so narrow. At the heart of every problem, it's a problem with the heart. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. Whether you find yourself identifying with Samuel in your life right now, where you feel like you're loving people, you're serving people, what do I do? First of all, let me share with you. In the chapter we've just read and the rest of the book, you know what we will not see Samuel do? Bail on the Israelites. So you know what? later. I'm out. Peace out. I'm retired. God, can I go do something else? You know what he does? He remains with them. He lets them know, hey, this is what you want. This is what's going to happen. He continues to pray for them. He does not bail. For those of us that identify with Samuel, we too should not bail. You might distance yourself. You might not have as many conversations with this person because it's the same conversation every time you get with them, but you do not bail on praying for that person, on interceding that they would awaken to Jesus in their life. They would recognize that their life might be out of order, but if they submit their heart to the order of Jesus, Jesus came to put lives back in order. Here's the good news. I just said it. Jesus came to put lives in order. Jesus came to see your life and my life and all of creation restored, which means to put back into its original order. If you find yourself here tonight, and maybe tonight God has highlighted to you that, man, I'm speaking things that I know I shouldn't be speaking to people. I'm hurting people with my tongue. Or, man, I've had a few people in my life tell me that I'm not really listening to them about the same circumstance, the same subject. Or, man, I feel like I never really see Jesus doing anything. I never see God. Can I let you know that you could argue against me and be wrong, but the problem is not your eyes, not your ears, not your tongue. The problem is your heart. But the good news is that Jesus came to restore you. And the scripture says, worship team can come up. The scripture says that if you believe in your heart, if you've committed, if you put your faith in Jesus, you trust and obey, your heart is no longer ruled by yourself, but by Jesus as King. I believe the Holy Spirit begins a work in your life unlike anything you've ever experienced, restoring you from head to toe. Restoring your speech, restoring your vision, restoring your ears. A work like any other. The problem is, with a heart out of order, this is what was happening in that day. They were seeking a king, and they were finding chaos because they weren't seeking the King. And whether you're looking for another person in your life to put your life to order, or you're thinking, I can do it on my own, you might be seeking a king, whether it's yourself or another person, but the reality is you're going to find chaos. I call this Humpty Dumpty syndrome. You guys remember Humpty Dumpty? You guys remember that guy? He sat on a wall, right? What happened? He took a fall. What happened? All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't what? Some of you guys grew up in nursery rhyme, couldn't put Humpty back together again. Some of us have Humpty Dumpty syndrome where we're looking for king's horses, we're looking for king's men, we're looking for gurus, books, government, something to put us back together. But the reality is only the king can put you back together. You're looking in the wrong area. The king is the one that can restore the heart, that can put you back into your original order. So my heart's cry is that as we walk through this book, we might recognize that some of the lives are out of order, but there is a king that can put our life back in order. We might learn from some of the chaos, some of the mistakes, some of the wrong decisions that these people are making. But we might recognize that we have an opportunity for our hearts, our lives, to be put back in order. And maybe this is you tonight. You're desiring your world to be put back in order. And when I say this, it doesn't mean that it's going to be void of heartache at times. Look at Samuel. His whole life was dedicated to God, serving God. He was still hurt. But it means that we have a king, we have a physician, we have a counselor, we have a prince of peace that can meet with us in those moments. And so if that's you, I would encourage you simply to speak with God. Be communicated as prayer, talking with God. And it would be a simple prayer. I'd encourage you to pray. If you desire to have your heart ruled by God, have your heart ordered by God, I would pray something along the lines of, God, would you forgive me? God, I'm an idiot. Would you forgive me? I'm sorry for being king of my own life. Would you come and invade my life? Would you be king of my life? Would you show me from this day forward who you are and who you've created me to be? My life is yours. Amen. And I'd encourage you to share with someone what you've done, to find someone whose king is also Jesus and say, this is what I've committed my life to do. Open up a Bible and begin to study more of who God is and who he's created you to be. We're going to close our evening in worship and give space for us to respond to God as the Holy Spirit's spoken to us through his word. I'm going to ask our prayer teams if you would come up and make yourselves available to my right, my left. These people are available just to pray with you with whatever's going on in your life. Whether it's related to a life out of order, which is a pretty broad topic, but or something else that's going on in life that you're seeking God for, they want to pray with you. But in this time, we want to worship. You can stand and sing. You can kneel and sing. You can sit and be still. One thing I would ask is, it's the end of Psalm 139. The psalmist David writes, Lord, search my heart, know my ways. Is there anything within me that's like not of you? Maybe some of us, if not all of us, would use this time to ask God, Lord, is my heart out of order? Are there areas of my life or my heart that I'm not allowing you to rule? And commit that to him. Lord, we worship you. Receive from us our song, our conversation, our meditation. In your holy name, amen.